Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a bomb, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Here it is, episode 21 of Alt Down Under, with me, once again, Luke Scanlon, with you guys. How are we? Look at that, episode 21, the pod can drink in America. Welcome along, I hope you've been well. It's been a couple of weeks since the last episode, our great chat with Louis, the bassist from Sonic Reducer. Still been listening to their latest singles and just getting a lovely dose of straight up punk straight into the veins, which I've been all over recently. So in this episode, yet another artist, someone a little bit different, an artist based up in Queensland this time out. Episode 21 of Alt Down Under brings you my chat with Sel. You'll be hearing from frontman Lockie Liddle. Unbelievable name. Another name in the catalogue of names where you have to be in a band, otherwise that name is not using its full power. Absolutely amazing chat coming up with Lockie. Just such a lovely guy and someone that is so dialed in to his creative energy, his creative flow, and someone that is just so passionate about what they're doing. I just really enjoy chatting to him. In the chat, to name but a few talking points, you'll be hearing all about the band's trip over to my homeland, over to the United Kingdom, where they stepped into the legendary Abbey Road Studios. I find out if they did do the zebra crossing walk like the Beatles, why they also end up in France eating a stupid amount of cheese. Plus, we'll be finding out about the stylistics within the band. Selv really are a group that pack their songs out, really make the most from second one to the last second. And I love that. I really, really enjoy that from a band. A lot of artists out there, I feel like you're almost willing them to give a little bit more. That is definitely not the case with these guys. And that that track that you heard there, that is Breaking Into Heaven, the title track off their forthcoming second album, Breaking Into Heaven. Ah, man, big things coming up for this band. That record, the follow-up to 2023's Red Desert Dream. Even on that record and some of the singles they've released, Kid Boo, Alien Cowboy, this is a really, really fun band. A band that is so fun, they're putting an album launch show together for August 21st up at the Home of the Arts in the Gold Coast. Listen to this. A live show featuring lasers, dancers, a 33-piece orchestra. I mean, book your flights now if you don't already live there. Before we hop into that chat, one thing that I've done recently that I've absolutely loved, purely this is my over chaotic brain, rarely gives itself a chance to shut off, but I was trying to chill the other day and instead I ended up doing a task I did very much enjoy, but a task that involved me sitting down with old school pen and paper and jotting down, scribbling out, going over things, and basically having an internal argument over which tracks make up my top 100 records of all time. So from that disgustingly nonsensical sheet of paper, I put all those tracks into a Spotify playlist, and I thought I had the 100 down, and I can confirm there's been at least 6 revisions of that top 100. So many tracks and artists have come in and out. I've got stuff from Soul. I've got some old crooners in there. Tony Bennett. Oh, the good life. Bit of Marvin Gaye. I've got it all. But then I've also got punk that I always mention on this show. The Clash, Buzzcocks, Pistols. I've got The Jam in there. Echo and the Bunnymen. New Order, Joy Division. It's actually quite a cool thing to do and sit down. And like, I've always been aware of how big an influence my parents' music taste had on my own music taste, but when you're putting the 100 together, you go, shit, I actually love a lot of the same records that my parents love, which is pretty cool. And I guess a lot of the more contemporary stuff I love is a logical follow-on from those predecessor bands, if you like. But fuck, even when I was going through noughties British indie stuff, there's some bands that I love growing up, but I saw loads, but I haven't got in the top 100. The Maccabees, who are making a comeback this year, I mean, I just put them back in their tune Pelican, which isn't off their first album, my favourite record of theirs, which is strange. I left out The View, The Holloways, one of the first bands I saw. It was the first live band I saw, actually. They were supporting The Rakes, who have made it. All these artists are just pure childhood memories. And I had to take out Good Shoes, another little band that not many people know about unless you were there, man. You probably wouldn't know about them. But honestly, if you need a little sit-down activity, something that will take an hour or two, but is actually really enjoyable, do it. I've sent it to a couple of mates of mine, and they've promised they're going to do it. So it's quite a cool thing. Share your 100, see what other people come up with, and if you have any of the same tracks. All right, enough of me and my insane recounting of my past week. Let's get into episode 21 of Alt Down Under, shall we? As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is my chat with Lockie Liddell. Sorry, I feel like I had to do that voice. Lockie, if you are listening, apologies, man. It's just your name lends itself to more cinematic pronunciation. This is my chat with Lockie Liddell, the frontman, creative genius, creative mind behind Selve. Lockie himself is a First Nations man. He's from Jabba Jabba Land. We'll get into that into the chat as well. And why in this new album, Breaking Into Heaven, why that provides much of the important messaging behind a new record. Let's have it then. This is my chat with Lockie Liddell of Selve. Lockie Liddell, welcome to Alt Down Under. How's it going, man?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me here.
So, Lockie, with a name like Lockie Liddell, you were surely only destined for showbiz, my friend.
Indeed. It is the god of mischief, after all. You know, and there's a little bit of alliteration in there already, so it's already rhythmic.
It's beautiful. Beautiful name. I love it. Mate, I was very pumped to have a chat with you because I've been listening to you lots in the past week or so, and huge fan of your sound, man. Absolutely huge fan.
Thank you.
And I was going back and listening to your first album that came out in 2023. A couple of tracks off that that I particularly loved.
Oh, nice.
Ghostwriter and Alien Cowboy were the two that I was like, these tunes are unbelievable.
Yeah.
One thing that I took away from both tunes, there was kind of a bit of disco and a bit of funk in both of them.
Yes.
Is that a big part of your heart taken up by disco and funk?
I think that there is. I think that in that album, in Red Desert Drain, it's, you know, it's a beautiful album, but it's got a very kind of like melancholic, synthy kind of energy on the whole way through. But we wanted to put a couple really fun tunes in there. I mean, Ghost Rider still has that really nice slinky bass all the way through. And then Alien Cowboy is just crazy and silly and fun and mad. And it's one of the best ones to play live. I think we wanted to put a bit of funk in there, but also a bit of an electronic edge in both of those. So yeah, I'm glad you like those. They're some of our favorites too.
So good, mate. Yeah, and then another track, I think it came out last year, Kid Blue.
Yes.
Generally, I've gone old school for this interview, man. I've genuinely done like handwritten paper notes.
Nice.
I've been fed up of looking at fucking screens all the time.
Gotta get the paper.
And
out.
Generally, I don't know if you can see, I generally wrote Kid Blue, fuck yeah.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
And I just put that's a fuck yeah song. And
nice.
It is. It's just like instantly, you're into it from the offset.
Yeah.
Which I love. And I wanted to chat to you because one of the main instant takeaways I had listening to you guys was that you pack your songs out.
Mm.
And I don't mean that it's all filler, no killer. I mean, like, you literally make the most from second one to the last end of the song.
Yeah.
And, like, is that, like, a real thing with you? Because it feels like I've interviewed a lot of bands over the years, right? And I sometimes get sent stuff. I get sent a lot of stuff from PR companies and, like, this sounds like I'm running a really busy operation. I'm not. But I get sent so many bands. A lot of time I'm like, just doesn't, like, I don't know, just don't quite grab the bull by the horns, essentially.
Mm.
But that's one thing that you guys do. So tell me about that and why that's, like, something that you want to bring to your songs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we're always trying to scratch that itch and make a song get to a place that makes you actually feel something and think something. It's, well, Kid Boo especially, I don't know, that's a very, like, again, playful, releasing, you know, energy kind of song. I mean, that song's about metamorphosis and change. It's based on the Dragon Ball Z character, Kid Buu. if it's like one of the bad guys anyway. But as far as packing our songs in just for the sake of it, I think it's just a symptom of there being six of us. And we've all got very different flavors and tastes, and we all have our own things to do. I think we've matured a bit more of knowing when not to put stuff in there as well. But I think that we just like to, I mean, when we look back at Red Desert Dream, actually, we often, we're like, well, which song didn't we put like a build up and drop in? You know, trying to actually work in having a song that has like, you know, a consistent level. But I think that we're all just very excitable people. So we really like to just put as much energy into packing out a song. If anything, it's more tricky for us to try to do less. But I think we've worked on being able to do that in this new album, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely, man. But honestly, I love, like, particularly like within this kind of genre that I operate and interview bands within, a lot of bands don't do a drop in their songs anymore. It seems like something that was going on a while back, but I'm like, bring it back. And yeah. I love that you guys have that. It's great, yeah. man. Absolutely love it. So let's chat then about the new music. We've covered the older releases. Mate, Breaking Into Heaven, big, big tune. Before we get into the meaning behind it, I want to have a chat about you worked with Creative Australia on that record.
Yeah.
And that meant you were here, there and everywhere. Recording, putting things behind that record. You went to my homeland. Tell me about it, that experience, and tell me about Abbey Road, man. That must have been amazing.
Yeah, so we got funding through double funding, actually, through Creative Australia and the First Nations Commissioning Fund through Arts Queensland for basically a project that I created called To Be Continued, which was about, you know, making our sophomore album. And for that, you know, a lot of the process or thinking about that was that, I don't know, we're an independent band, and sometimes there can be this idea that of waiting around to be discovered or for the imaginary hands to come and pick you up and deliver you. And I was more kind of just like, all right, what cool shit can I make happen myself? So I designed like a 3-stage residency project, which involved having a 2-week residency up in Broome on my Jabba Jabba country, where I wanted to start the songwriting process with my community and my elders to get the kind of direction that the next album would go in, kind of responsive to place. Because Red Desert Dream was during COVID, I was on the East Coast and wanted to be back on country up in Broome and couldn't go there. And it was a lot about the longing of wanting to get there. So I wanted to start this album there. So we had 2 weeks there working with my uncle Wayne Barker and my auntie Pat and kind of getting those first songs together. That's where we wrote Forever and Mabu Walu, which are the kind of albums, the album's title, end tracks. And then we had 6 weeks in France in a little town called Noyon-sur-Seine, which is about an hour outside of Paris. And we were staying there at Midnight Special Records, which is a studio over there, which we were connected to through Red Desert Dreams producer Simon Benesch. He had friends there, and he co-produced on this album as well. We had 6 weeks there, which was unbelievable. We're staying like a little French cottage. The studio was in like a renovated barn across the street. And obviously we're hanging out in the sun, eating baguettes and cheese, and the band's enjoying all of the wine. But we knew we were going to Abbey Road, so we wanted to put as much energy as we possibly could into it. So we were spending 5 days a week just writing songs, like all day. And then on the weekends, we'd relax, maybe go to Paris. We went to Rock and Sen in Paris and saw like LCD Sound System, Massive Attack.
Massive
got
Festival.
That, got that inspiration. Yeah. And I was just beside myself because obviously it was cool that we were in France, but I can't hear at home till all six band members just stop working and let's look at an album nonstop. But because we were overseas and we had our per diems, it was all paid for, we could. So the most valuable thing was that actually worked on it for 6 weeks. We wrote 25 demos and then had the very difficult process of whittling that down. We tried to get to 10, but it had to be 13. There was some we couldn't let go of. So we did that and then we finished off, and then we actually drove in a van from France across to London. And we were staying in Stanmore, about half an hour out of where Abbey Road was. So we'd basically get the tube every day. And we were like, you know, well, we're going to Abbey Road.
On the Jubilee line? Is that the Jubilee line?
It was the Jubilee line. It was the Jubilee line.
I used to live on the Jubilee line.
Oh, deadly. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So you used to get into central London via the Jubilee line.
Yeah, we'd get off at St. John's. St. John's Wood is where the studio is. So we'd kind of get in. And, you know, the first couple of days we're like, well, we better wear suits. We're going to Abbey Road. So we're there on the tube looking pretentious as fuck. And, but it was great. And, yeah, so we had 2 weeks in Abbey Road. We were working with our assistant engineer, Thomas Briggs. And we had our first 4 days in a little room called the Gatehouse, which was a smaller room, a new one that's been built by Abbey Road, where we wanted to kind of like get our plan together for recording and, you know, get some little extra back end things and everything, which was good because obviously we were nervous to be there. And then on the, we finished up that day and Tom's like, all right, you want to do a tour through the building, see Studio One, Studio Two. And, you know, so he's taking us to Studio One. He's like, yeah, this is where they did Abbey Road. This is where they did this. That piano there is the big Steinway from this. And, oh, Reese, where you're standing there by
yeah,
the,
sure.
That's where Johnny Greenwood was when they did OK Computer. And we're just like, and then finally we went into Studio Three, which was amazing. And it kind of hit us that it wasn't just an idea, that we were actually getting to record in there. And they've got the, you know, they've got a new desk in there, but the actual desk they did Dark Side on is there. And there's a Celeste in there from
unbelievable
the Beatles records. And there's a piano there that John Lennon used on Day in the Life, which we had our Aboriginal flag on the whole time as well. So then we basically spent 10 days every day recording the album. And, you know, we'd been practicing for 6 weeks, so we were pretty locked in and, you know, managed to get it all done, which was surreal. And we were besides ourselves and it never really got normal, but we were just really honored and humbled to be there and, you know, just tried to focus on something big was happening and just trying not to get in the way of it, really. So, yeah.
Mate, that's so cool. It just sounds like if you're any fraction of you is a music fan just walking around Abbey Road,
yes,
you can just like feel the history like on the walls. That is amazing. That is so cool to hear. I'd love to go myself. Like, I lived in London for quite a few years but never went. I live nearby. I was in Wilson Green, but never went that far, man, to go check it out.
Well,
I have to ask, did you get the zebra crossing picture?
Yes, we did. We've got a few zebra crossing pictures, but I also had this idea of getting a picture of just myself crossing it with the Aboriginal flag as kind of like a reclamation and different image. So we got that as well. But it was weird, you know, because every day there's like, you know, hundreds of people lining up to do the crossing and stuff. And where the really weird thing was that we actually had to cross it every day to get from the tube to the studio. So it was like, what is life? Why is this our everyday passage, you know? And again, it never got like normal. It's like, why is this happening? But another thing I'll say, you know, you're talking about visiting Abbey Road, the strange thing is most of their income, you know, now is through doing, you know, the big orchestras and doing scores for Indiana Jones and Star Wars, and that's in the Studio One and Two.
Yeah.
That's where they get the big crowds in. And they actually kind of told us that it was really rare for a band to come in and do a full album anymore. Like, you'll get a band come
in
and do the drums because it's really good, or maybe they'll come in and do the vocals, but for a band to actually come in for 2 weeks and block it out and use all the gear, they said that they hadn't had in ages. So their team was just as excited as we were to be doing it, and we were like, what do you mean, that's crazy. But
that's so yeah, that is crazy. That's very cool, though. I like to think that you kind of walked in and went, yeah, we're Self. You've probably heard of us.
Yeah.
We're the band that have blocked it out for 2 weeks.
That's
That's so good. But it's funny what you say about the zebra crossing, because at the end of the day, it is just a zebra crossing.
Right.
And that's like just the power of the Beatles, because they happen to have a picture on it and use it as album artwork.
Yep.
It's become something mundane has become immense, which is, absolutely bizarre. So, mate, you mentioned a couple of times there you had the Aboriginal flag with you, which is awesome that you took that over and had that across Lennon's piano. In the track title of the single and title of the album, Breaking Into Heaven, I know there's a big First Nations story behind that. So I'd like to get your thoughts as to the message behind that track. But I also wanted to ask you to begin with, because you mentioned previously you're a Jabba Jabba man. I wanted to ask if that was something you've always been kind of connected to, like from a young age, or it's something as you've got older, you've kind of gone back and learnt more about?
No, always been connected to it. So I was born in Perth, which is a bit south of Broome. And I think it was, you know, my grandma who moved down from Broome to Perth. So I've always been, raised, being connected to my identity and where I come from. But grew up on the East Coast because Mum moved over to Newcastle to be closer to my dad when I was, you know, only 1 year old. So I kind of grew up across Newcastle and Sydney and Gloucester and finally moved up to the Gold Coast towards the end of high school. So I have always been connected to my identity and where I come from, but I've always lived on the opposite side of the country. As Broome is a bit prohibitive to get to. But yeah, been connected with my community my whole life. And then when it came to this album and the message of this album, it was like, you know, wanting to, again, always base my creative process in who I am and where I'm coming from. But every time I do a creative process, I hope that I'm putting myself in environments where I'm going to learn more, which is why I created the project as a residency series. Like, I didn't come in like already having the answers, knowing exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to spend time in Broome and then spend time in France and have the ample time to think about it, dig into the emotionality and the ideas and the characters that I wanted to play with this time. So, you know, a lot of the time I spent in Broome on Jabba Jabba Country, I was with my uncle Wayne Barker, who is a traditional custodian and elder there, but also like a fusion jazz guitarist and didge player who lived in France for 10 years touring around. So it was a perfect intersection of knowledge for that process. And we kind of, you know, talked about a lot of stuff. He always put me this kind of challenge, which was when you're writing a song or performing, ask yourself, what are you risking? Because if you're not feeling like you're risking something, then you're probably not actually putting all of your heart into it. And so I was thinking about knowing, yes, it's crazy, we're going to Abbey Road. As anyone who's grown up, you know, loving rock and roll, they know it's like this mecca of rock and roll mythology, you know, stemming back to the Beatles and everything that has come out of that. So obviously it's this ideal place, but also knowing that it would be the first Aboriginal record to be done in full at the studio. I'm sure there might have been other Aboriginal artists do stuff. This might be just the first full record. I was like, okay, well, so what am I using that platform for? And what am I trying to say? And I really wanted to make sure that I was coming from somewhere that had cultural integrity. And so throughout the album, there's lots of elements of my of Jabba Jabba culture, Jabba Jabba language in there as well. And so I looked at that as like kind of creating the embers of the songs and then getting to take that, those embers and get to take that into Abbey Road, which is this hallowed space, and get to sing those songs and platform my Jabba Jabba culture in the world's most famous studio is what made the project feel radical and special and like something really big was happening. And that's why we had this kind of concept of breaking into heaven, which was inspired by the Nina Simone quote, the people who built their heaven on your land are telling you that yours is in the sky. And it's this kind of idea of, you know, Abbey Road, in anyone who's grown up loving rock and roll, is like this mecca, is this heaven, but it's also been an exclusive space reserved for the specific few. And as an Aboriginal artist and an independent band, getting to break into that space and use that space and the best gear in the world to tell a First Nation story is what made it feel radical and why I wanted to call it Breaking Into Heaven. Basically.
Love that, mate. That is the coolest story behind a record I've heard in a very long time. That's amazing. And like creating music in that space and being the first to do that is so cool. But I think even the whole story behind the record, even the lead up, you're right. I don't think many artists have time to, unless you're like, you know, superstar international artist, you don't have the time to sit and live with an album and let it grow progressively. So it's amazing that you've had the chance to be able to do that.
It's a dream come true. Yeah,
absolutely, man. I think the themes within the record as well, like there's so many connections that can be made across music at the moment, like even the stuff with like Kneecap that's going on. I spoke to Irish band The Murder Capital in a recent episode of Alt Down Under, chatting about that and the whole thing around censorship and stuff as well. And I think it's important for music to keep making those waves and to be a space that people can create these messages and put those messages out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a kind of our job as artists to be able to, I guess, challenge the things, you know, that are going on in the world. And there are a lot of horrible things going on in the world. And we all have our different methods of doing it. There's a Uncle Bob Weatherall, who is an elder in the Brisbane Blacks community, who's done a lot of work in repatriation over the years, once said something to me and a bunch of people who was talking to, which was that we've all got to find our place in the struggle. And we all have our different methods of doing that. There is you know, of being really radically out there and calling things out as they need to be. And then there are some people, you know, elevating, you know, showing that black fellas are allowed to make love songs and songs about joy. And most black fellas do all of it, actually, you know, which is the important thing of being genre bending and using our platform for message and expressing the kind of, I guess, full spectrum of experience.
Yeah, mate, that's amazing. Like, and yeah, I cannot wait for this album to come out. So that comes out 12th September, and you've got the big album launch where you currently are at the Home of the Arts, which would be amazing.
Yes.
I have to ask you about this because I was reading through what's going to be going down at this album launch. Lasers, dancers, and a 33-piece orchestra. What?
That's clear.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I guess we were on a bit of a roll of, you know, sometimes you can have delusions of grandeur, like, oh, I'm going to go to Abbey Road. And then people actually let you do it, which is not good for grounding. You know, when I was thinking about this project and wanting to launch it out in the biggest way, you know, because obviously we've done this big thing, but we're still an emerging, completely independent, unsigned band that is still kind of coming into up on the radar. But I still wanted to make the, you know, launch of this album as big as possible. So through Experience Gold Coast Arts Fund, was able to secure funding to basically deliver an exclusive pre-release world premiere here at Hodder, which will be a part of Bleach Festival, which will basically involve us performing Breaking Into Heaven in full from beginning to end with the 33-piece Australian session orchestra to the backdrop of like an immersive visual show that we've filmed, which includes four of the music videos that we've been making, as well as dance performances from Carl Projects, who are a contemporary Indigenous dance company here on the Gold Coast. So it's going to be wild, and it's on this big outdoor auditorium, this massive kind of stage that has lasers coming out of it and a big kind of green field, which is amazing. But yeah, and that's happening on the 1st of August is when that's going down. So it's going to be the biggest show we've ever done, and we are extremely excited about it.
Alternative Down Under.
I'll have 2 pints, please. I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
Let's get into the dream gig venue then, mate. First of all, can you tell me the name and the capacity you'd like to have at the dream gig venue?
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, it's an interesting question, this one, the dream gig, because I have to now like dream bigger than this one that I'm doing. I reckon it's at the Sphere, Las Vegas. And I think that the capacity is, I don't know what the capacity is. Let's just call it 500 million.
Why not? Plug everyone in to the Sphere
exactly.
And get locked in.
They're in there, but it's also live casted. Yeah.
Nice. All right. And dress code. What would you like everyone to be donning?
Dress code is power suits.
Nice. I don't know why that caught me off guard so much. I was not expecting that. But
500 million power suits.
Why not? There's going to be some sort of surge on the grid.
yeah, exactly.
Okay, so everyone in power suits, and what would you like for free food and free drink?
Oh, okay, free food and free drink. We've got absolutely unlimited old fashions for those who partake, and sea of sober non-alcoholic beverages for those of us who don't drink. I myself am 3 years sober, so I miss the old fashions, but I like the sobers.
Oh, yeah.
So that is what I'd have available. And then for food, I think we'd have a nice array of wood fire pizza, lasagna, and karagi bao available. Unlimited. It's a strange combination, but that is what I'm thinking.
Sounds amazing. Absolutely. Yeah, I haven't had an old fashioned in ages. I do love an old fashioned though.
They're good.
I think like you can be wearing the worst outfit and just feeling crap, but as soon as you have an old fashioned, you feel pretty you feel pretty cultured.
So we can make the dress code. If you don't have a power suit, you can just have an old fashioned in your tracksuit and it's fine. You can come in.
Just rock out. You'll be fine. Rock out and slob out. Absolutely love that. Okay, up next, can you please tell me, sir, who would you like for support act? And this could be dead or alive.
That's a good question. Ooh, la, 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 la. Okay.
Someone's been to France recently. Ooh, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Ooh, la, 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 la. I think we'll bring him back from the dead, and because it'd be a nice contrast. Sometimes if you have a big rock band and then another big rock band, you need to arc it up. So yeah. I'm going to bring out of the grave Leonard Cohen to open up with a really nice deep mood set. And then we'll go into our rock set because it'll be a nice contrast. But I think a big influence on my songwriting, so let's say Leonard Cohen.
Okay, like that. There's going to be a big change in heart rate at this gig with Leonard Cohen. People are just going to be chilling out with their old fashions, and then bang, self, come on, fuck.
That's it, with the full sphere, 360 visuals, going on.
Fuck yeah, love that. Okay, and finally, who would you like doing the front door security?
Who else? I reckon it would be really cool for front door security to have in a power suit again, First Nations actress and model Charlie Fraser. I reckon she'd be very cool at the front. She was recently in Mad Max and had a really kind of staunch character in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was riding motorbikes and defending her child. So I reckon that if I was to have door security, it would be Charlie Fraser's character from Mad Max, because no one would fuck with that.
Love that. I love how specific that is as well. Very good. Well, that is the dream gig venue, mate. Thanks ever so much for joining us on Alt Down Under. And I can't wait for the album Breaking Into Heaven to come out, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for your time. Thank you so much.
Alternative Down Under.
What a ruddy gentleman, to use a very English phrase. I feel like I had to do that after all the mentions of London and Abbey Road and his time over there. It's weird now, London's shifting into summer gear, unlike the depths of winter when I last visited. Oh, it does pull on the heartstrings a little bit. Lock Little there from Selv, just what a lovely guy, and someone that is just really sunken his teeth into his project. Obviously, it's amazing they've got this funding from these arts initiatives that have really allowed the band to go out and explore and do things that Lockie says they would not have otherwise been able to do. I really urge you to go and listen to Selv, the stuff that they've got out there already, ahead of that second album coming out, Breaking Into Heaven, comes out 12th of September. And thanks once again, Lockie, for dropping by. Busy, busy man.
Alternative Down Under.
All right, nearly time to sign off. Episode 21, almost done. Coming up, a few exciting things in the pipeline. I've been chatting to a couple of bands, their teams, ahead of their journey from the UK over to Australia. A couple of big bands I've already spoken to on a previous podcast of mine, Big Smoke Music Weekly, which I did for quite a few years before moving to Melbourne. And let me tell you, a couple of really, really big bands, a couple of bands that have been very instrumental in the music I've been listening to in the past 5 to 10 years. And one band in particular have just dropped a new single that is very, very spicy indeed. So watch this space. In the meantime, get your top 100 favorite tracks into a playlist. Get that scrappy bit of paper, jot it down, scribble it out, get into it. Play the tunes whilst they come into your head. It helps. It's weird. You'll think of one and then you'll think of another 12 from that same genre. Really fun little activity for all you music geeks out there. With that, geeks unite, take it easy, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Alt Down Under.